January 6th, 2023. The meeting is called to order at 7:04 p.m. Roll call, please, Jade.
Austin.
Here.
Alan.
Here.
Amy.
Here.
Jack.
Here.
Marisa.
Here.
Arlene.
Here.
All right, we have a quorum. We'll go on to the first order of approval. Order of business, approval of agenda. At this time, are there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Hearing.
Okay. Are there any conflicts of interest on the agenda item? All right, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the January 6, 2023 agenda. As amended.
Okay. I'll make a motion. Oh, okay.
we have a motion by Amy and second by Austin.
Thank you.
Roll call, please, Jay.
Jack?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
All right, motion carried. We'll go on to public comment on agenda items. Are there any public comments on agenda items at this time? Okay, hearing none, we'll go on to the next item of business is consent agenda. And there's one item on the consent agenda is the minute of the regular meeting of December 13th, 2022, with correction. I have a motion to adopt the minutes of December 13th, 2022.
Motion to adopt the minutes of
December 13th, 2022,
with stated
correct. Motion by Arlene. We have a second.
I'll second.
Second by Marita. Roll call, please, Jade.
Amy?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Motion carried. Okay, we'll move on to the next item is report. And the first report is Finance Officer Curtis Benderson.
Good evening. For November in raw fish tax, we have received no money. And then for sales tax in November, we received $36,554.18. And starting the end of December, we are starting our annual audit.
All right. Thanks, Curtis. Any questions or comments for Curtis? All right. Seeing none. Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the next report is the administrator report with Jordan Keeler.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council, staff. So I've begun to work on the next phase of the grants for the footbridge and the harbor bridge under the SGP and CDP programs administered by the State Department of Transportation. You know, as mentioned in the past, there is a required 9.03% match from the city. The rest of the tab on the project is picked up by State DOT. So in order to move forward, you know, I want direction from council to move forward knowing that there's a required match, minimum required match, maximum amount you can match is up to 15%, you know, when it comes to the scoring metric. For both the street bridge and the footbridge, so we're looking at least a 60 $50,000, give or take. Minimum commitment match for the traffic bridge, and then about $15,000, about $17,500 of a footbridge. Again, fees may go up. So right now, that's a preliminary cost estimate, and with council approval, I'll say to DOT, yes, we want to advance with this, and then they'll further drill down on the cost estimates. And then if council directs staff to go ahead with that, then the next step at the February meeting would be to pass a resolution of support for the project of commitment, saying that the city does commit to this, you know, X percent match, which will be X amount of dollars. And then the city also has the financial liquidity to set money aside in case of cost overruns. So there's no cost overruns, there's no money spent. But DOT wants to know that the applicant, in this case the city, has cushion to the things that really come in a budget, frankly. So DOT doesn't want to get caught with their pants down. They want us to be able to, you know, back that project. So there's that. I did speak with Homeland Security Emergency Management over at JBEAR about the BRIC, building resilient infrastructure in communities to address engineering needs for the culverts and the dam, as well as speaking with DIA about the TTP tribal transportation programs, about funding for both bridges as well as the reservoir. I've not heard back from the gentleman about whether or not those three structures are on the QTT inventory. I should have an answer by mid-next week. That's kind of an infrastructure look, what's going on. I did submit the documents to the state for our best practices scoring. It's a multifaceted score. It involves operations, you know, Dylan, finance, reporting, are we having our meetings? You know, is the report being submitted? You know, that kind of thing. So we should get a much higher score than we had in the past. I did speak with a nice lady who's our assigned person for that at AML. And then lastly, I have jury duty the week of our next meeting, and I have to be available to be at the Anchorage Courthouse at 8 a.m. on Monday. So I just want to give you the heads up on that. I've tried to delay it, to the future, but I've no dice so far. So I just wanted you guys to be aware of that, that I may not be able to make it to the workshop next month. I should be able to at least, call it telephonically. And then depending on what happens with the jury selection, I may be out of commission for a while. But if that happens, I'll let you guys know as soon as I know. So I guess just to recap, I'm looking for direction from council to move forward with the DOT STP, SCDP grant application.
All right. Thanks, Jordan. Any questions or comments first for Jordan?
Yeah. So with the scoring rubric for the grant,
yeah,
if we have a higher match, does that give us a better score?
Yes. The higher, the more you can contribute, up to 15%, that's the max. That will increase your point.
Would you say that, so if we come out at the bottom at 9%, but what if we go in at 12%? Would you say that there would be because these are important projects, but we also don't want to overspend, we don't have, but do you
right.
think that it affects the score to a level that makes it worth it, the project you're really going after?
I haven't seen the scoring metric itself, but I can check with the state, and then next month when the resolution is, that's when we can adjust any contribution if need be. If it's prudent to do it.
Thanks, Austin. Jack?
Yeah, I'd like to see this thing move forward. I think the 9%, though, is where we want to keep it, because if there's a $100,000, $200,000 cost overrun, that'll kick down what we have to put in. a thought. We're going at a higher, like we said, like Jordan said, they generally go over on, they don't come in under.
Okay. Thanks, Jack. Any other comments?
Yeah, I agree with Jack. I would like Jordan to, you know, ask Trent and some of the other cities in town for support for this. If we decide to support, I think good letters of support money would be great to use there, something to, yeah, put some money our way for it. That would be very helpful.
Thanks, Amy. Any other comments? Not, do we have direction to have Jordan move forward with this at this time?
I think we need to go ahead with it. I don't think we should limit our span of, you know, asking for help to just Trident. I believe Trident already talked about, you know, shipping the lumber up here. Isn't that correct? But, you know, I think all the entities in town, you know, could help contribute. It is, you know, a vital piece of our community. So, but we do have to go ahead with it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. No, that Amy did say I wasn't loud enough, but she meant anybody. For all aspects that we can get to contribute for the matching funds.
Okay, I got that. You guys, I kind of hear bits and pieces, and I don't hear everything, so I apologize.
No worries. No, same here. Okay, thanks, Alan. Any other? Well, that was all in favor, so we have direction for that. So there's no other questions or comments for Jordan? We move on to the next report, which is the Department of Public Safety with Police Chief Dave Anderson.
Good evening, everybody. During the month of December, we had 24 calls to 911. We generated over 21 reports for calls for service as well as self-initiated contact. We had one burglary resulting in the theft of a generator. It was recovered. A couple days later, we had a rifle stolen and it was recovered sometime later as well. We didn't have anybody in the jail during this time period, so it was good. It was fairly quiet. This time of year, we tend to see more property theft. And just a reminder, everybody, to try and secure your things. Don't leave your things unattended. Secure your sheds. I was speaking with Investigator Lowry, who's on the line earlier. We were talking about a budget cycle now. Really, and one thing that's not on my report, but I told the mayor and Jordan as well, that we keep in mind, we're coming out of COVID, things are moving real slow. We have $800,000 in high-intensity drug trafficking area seizures. That's ours. It just has to go through the process of getting, it's been seized. It has to go through the federal process of getting dispersed. Some of the money we have to share with other entities, either AST or any other agency that may be involved, because there's five other cases that developed this as close to $800,000. I haven't checked it in a couple months, but it's there. And I will deliver that report to you on the next council meeting. And with that, we have Investigator Lowry on the line with us tonight, and he's going to give us a rundown on the end of the year and what he's doing there in Anchorage. So, Rich, can you hear me? The floor is yours.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chief. Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of council. Thanks for having me. Want to thank everybody for their continued support for this position. We're doing a lot of good things. I believe, Chief, correct me if I'm wrong, everybody has a copy the PowerPoint, or at least council has a copy of the PowerPoint, so they can follow along with me.
Yes, thank you.
All right. So, if we'll go to the first slide, task and purpose of task force officer. So our purpose here in Anchorage, for the first line of defense in identifying and intercepting drugs destined for the eastern Aleutian communities, my priority is focused on Sandpoint. However, you know, I do take into account all of the eastern Aleutian communities. So with that being said, we scan and identify for potential targets inbound for the eastern Aleutian communities, specifically for the purposes of drug interdiction. We have a very good working relationship with local, state, and federal resources. Provides for a more comprehensive approach for drug investigation. And this goes into, which I'll speak to this in just a second, it goes into the fact of the resources that we have here in Anchorage, as far as data collection and, you know, as far as real-time data collection, real-time actionable intelligence, it's a lot more fluid than it would be in the Aleutian communities. Mitigating potential overdose cases and reducing the overall availability of illegal narcotics available in the eastern communities, or eastern Aleutian communities. We strive every day to just really hit home. We scan various things. We look at inbound and outbound flights, amongst other things. We do this on a daily basis. It's done every morning, 9 times out of 10. I know everybody from the council to the mayor to everyone else that's on the plane when they fly, because we have access to that on our side of the house. So if we'll go to the next slide, combating the drug trade. You know, often the resources are not readily available in the local communities there in the eastern Aleutians to intercept traffickers of narcotics with the many forms of transportation that they have at their disposal to the rural communities. So there are private airlines, commercial airlines. You have, you know, the state ferry system, along with many other routes of transportation that traffickers have at their disposal to use to attempt to evade law enforcement. I have personally encountered and interdicted many forms of trafficking, to include human trafficking of narcotics, which is internally carrying narcotics inside of a human body, luggage, and shipping of narcotics to my area of responsibility, which is the Eastern Aleutians. Beyond the tangible resources, and this is what I spoke to earlier, to the Eastern Aleutians, in the form of manpower, the position also provides intangibles in the form of software, hardware, and the availability of rapid intelligence gathering. A lot of times we've seen that traffickers or narcotics will use last-minute transportation to avoid the detection of us. So time is definitely not on our side when we do these cases. So the availability of the rapid intelligence is paramount, and that is something that we definitely don't get on the Aleutian side of things. Having worked down there for, you know, a year and a half or so, I know that the flow of intelligence, while it can be it can be somewhat quick, it is definitely not at the pace of what we can do up here. Drugs are becoming more prevalent now than they ever have been in the past. I speak to this because I attended some training that spoke to the fact that the Mexican cartels They are now in Alaska, and they will only grow from here. And their mission is to flood the market with narcotics. They have an acceptable loss, which is 20 to 30%, which is huge when you're speaking to the city of Sandpoint or even any of the smaller Aleutian tribes, or not the Aleutian tribes, but the Aleutian communities. You know, 20% is huge when you're thinking of numbers that are as small as the communities are down there. All of the seizures that have been made by the statewide drug enforcement unit have a known nexus to not only the Eastern Aleutian communities, but to the entire state of Alaska. So all of the small communities in Alaska that are suffering the epidemic of overdoses and drugs and all of that stuff, it's all provided to you by the Mexican cartels. And, you know, this impact is not only felt in the Aleutian communities, but it's felt in all of the other outlying communities in the entire state of Alaska as well. So this is big for me. Drugs, as we know, are not only destroying the lives of Alaskans, but American as a whole. It's devastating to see the effects that drugs have on the individuals, especially in a community as small as Sandpoint. One life can have the effect on, you know, 10 lives or 15 lives. An overdose in Sandpoint has resounding effects throughout the entire community because everyone knows everybody and everyone is intertwined. So what I do, it's very important to me personally, the lives of the people. Sandpoint is a beautiful place. The Aleutians are a beautiful place. So one life has a resounding effect through the entire community. And that's the importance to me. And that's something that I think about almost daily when I carry out my job, is the effect that we can have. You know, even if we're disrupting a drug trafficking organization in Anchorage, well, everything has a tie to Anchorage. People from Sandpoint just don't get drugs from Sandpoint. They have to fly out to Anchorage to get them, at least. So this is something that I think about on a daily basis. You know, the lives of the people in the community of Sandpoint or the lives and the people of King Cove or any of the other Aleutian communities, they're so small that a small number makes a huge impact. The seizures that we've made this year have broken every record since the state's inception. So ever since they've been keeping track of this, we this year, since June, we have shattered every record that the state's ever had. And I've listed the hard drugs. I won't go through them for the sake of time. I won't go through them by weight. But we started our new initiative June 1st of this year. And since June 1st to now, we've broken every record that has ever been set for seizures of illegal narcotics. Now, all of the weights that you see on this slide, I'll reiterate, I've spoke to this once prior, but every weight for drugs that you see on me, on this PowerPoint, I directly had my hands on. So keep that in mind, that this is a very large quantity of narcotics. All of this is available to anyone in your community. The total weight is of hard illicit drugs, 367.08 pounds. Doesn't include pills that we could quantify. Suboxone, we didn't quantify that into a weight. Marijuana plants, we didn't quantify those into a weight. The vape pens, you'll see, is 1,182. Well, each vape pen has approximately 1 gram of THC in it. The potency of the THC can vary by company. THC vape pens are traditionally black market. Even though THC is legal in the state of Alaska, it's still trending that the vape cartridges that we are seeing are not legal. They're not taxed. They're not identified by the state of Alaska. They're not regulated. They're not tested. So there is no metric in place to say that the vape pen that you're getting is specifically THC. 26.3 grams of unknown substances. That's substances that we couldn't identify with just a field test. Those are sent off to the lab. We've had almost 2 ounces of methadone, which methadone was the precursor to Suboxone. Drug users use that as currency to trade for narcotics. One LSD window pane, many of you may know it as acid. That's 100 doses. 303 edibles. So the edibles, this is a new trend that we're starting to see. Edibles, when we say edibles, those are packages of edibles. They usually come with anywhere from 10 to 20 things that you can ingest. That have, 25 to 50 milligrams of THC in them. So that brings us to the approximate total weight of about 1,000 pounds of drugs that we have seen since June 1 of this year. If you look next, I've got several slides of pictures. All of the pictures that I'm showing here are pictures of drugs that I physically had my hands on. A majority of these drugs have come from my camera that have been submitted as state evidence. So the first one we have is heroin. To the left, that is 4.4 pounds of heroin. That's black tar heroin. That's the most common form that we see it in. If you look to the right, drugs can take many forms. Those are Cadbury chocolate bars. The chocolate bars were removed from the wrappers, and then heroin was stuffed down inside as the size of a chocolate bar, and they were resealed. If you'll go to the next slide, this is the big one right now that we're starting to see a huge influx. These are counterfeit M30 pills. They're known as Blues or Skittles or... They have many different names, but this is the one that I know personally that has impacted the Sandpoint community. I've had a few cases regarding these in the Sandpoint community. I can't divulge any information other than I have these counterfeit M30 pills going to the community of Sandpoint. One of the big things to note here for these M30 counterfeit pills, one pill of this, and you're looking at approximately 40,000 pills in these four slides. One pill can kill you. If you take one pill, it can kill you. They don't mix the drugs in the way that pharmaceutical companies do. There is no quality assurance measures in place. These things aren't regulated. So one pill might have no fentanyl, and then one pill could be pure fentanyl. And if one pill is pure fentanyl, that could kill two or three people combined just from one. And these things are a tenth of a gram each. So you're thinking like a baby aspirin. Think about the size of a baby aspirin. One of those pills can kill three people. Next slide is cocaine. I didn't know that cocaine moved up to Alaska and the weights that they do until working for the drug unit. Here are just two examples of 2 kilos of cocaine that I have seized. Personally, I've had more than just these two. I've had three or four actually, but these are just two that I had pictures readily available at the time that I made this PowerPoint. If you'll go to the next slide, some of you may recognize the countertop in the pictures. I won't divulge locations or anything. However, I can tell you that everything in these pictures were bound for your area. And the approximate value of everything that's pictured here is $200,000. So when you think about the impact that this is having, $200,000, in the scheme of things, you're talking about tax dollars that could be going to legitimate businesses or legitimate commerce, and taxes that could be gained from that, or, you know, the benefit that goes back to the community. Instead, the people that use these narcotics are sending their money to outside locations, to Texas, to Arizona, to California. Those folks are the ones that are profiting from this. It's not the community. It's not, you know, the Eastern Aleutians that are profiting anything from this. All of the money from this strictly goes out of the entire state of Alaska. So, and the reason why I say this is to think about this. $200,000 when it comes to the point of, you know, rehabilitation or, you know, providing help to someone that has an addiction problem or something like that. This is $200,000 that could go to something like that, but instead, keep in mind that they're sending their money outside of our community, outside of our state, to drug cartels in the lower 48 to just for profit. They don't care about your families. They don't care about our community. They don't care about anything else other than money and greed. So that's something that I wanted to touch on. Next slide. The year-end recap for the statewide drug enforcement unit. Seizure of over 3 million potentially fake doses of fentanyl. If you can think about the population of the state of Alaska, there's only about 600,000, 700,000 people in the entire state of Alaska. So when you look at 3 million potentially fatal doses, that number is astronomical, and that just only goes to show the fact that the cartels don't care about our communities. They don't care about our families or the people here. They're flooding the market for greed and money. We've received state recognition for cooperation with the state of Alaska's efforts to disrupt the drug trafficking trade. Saved untold amounts of lives in Alaska's rural communities. That's a huge thing. Again, I'll touch on it again, that I'm a huge part on is the lives of the small communities. Sandpoint has been nothing but fantastic to me. Everyone there has touched me in some way. So in my mind, this is me doing the best I can to give back to the community and my efforts on a daily basis. We provide resources to rural communities through cooperation of both state and federal agencies. I do have contact with all of the federal agencies. Currently, I'm a task force officer for the Alaska State Troopers. So bringing to bear the weight of, you know, a lot of different agencies that have a lot more resources than we have at our disposal, being that we are a small community. And then the other thing that I like to say is having a local asset here in Anchorage, which is me, to assist in the smaller communities with the detection and deterrence of drug trafficking. And My role so far this year, or for the year of 2022, has gone beyond the fact of, you know, just the drug task force agent. It's assisting, you know, Sandpoint PD with points of contact with the ABI or the Alaska State Troopers and facilitating, you know, transport of victims housing of victims, getting, you know, attention that victims need, medical attention and stuff like that. So being able to, you know, facilitate all of those needs that the city has that, you know, they don't have the contacts as readily available as I do here because I speak with these people on a regular basis. So if I reach out and, you know, ask somebody for help, they can put a face with the name, which in my opinion, it goes a little bit further. The next slide, this is the last one. I want to thank everyone for their continued support. This slide here, if you wanted to print this page and give it out to the entire community, that would be great because we're only as good as the intelligence that we receive. And we operate on the fact of, you know, concerned citizens in their local communities wanting to get rid of the poison that is destroying their communities. So any information that we can get from anyone will help. Nothing is too insignificant to us, even if it's just a shred of information that gives us, like, a lead that we can run down on, then every little bit helps. And the more information we have, the more informed decisions we can make, and the better we can do our job to, you know, intercept these people in transit or intercept, you know, shipments or whatever. The more information we have, the better it makes us more effective at what we do. So, again, thank you, everyone. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. I'm here. So I'm done.
All right. Thanks, Richard.
Yes, sir.
Any questions for Richard at this time?
I do.
Okay.
Hey, Rich, I hate to put you on the spot, buddy, but has there been any talk? I know it's way early, but I recall that in 2020-21, the state of Alaska topped the nation per capita overdose death rate. Since you guys have had an uptick, I know it's early. Have you heard any new news about how we're doing for end of year 2022 as far as overdose rate?
Based on the third quarter, our projections from third quarter, I don't have the fourth quarter in yet, but just based on the third quarter of 2022, it was a 78% reduction in overdose death.
Wow. That's significant.
Yeah, and again, the numbers that were on the slide, I only listed the stuff that I had personally had my hands on. The statewide drug enforcement unit, their numbers are a lot higher than what I have listed. The numbers that I listed, though, however, are only cases and incidents that I had personally put my hands on. So the numbers that you have in the slide, those are numbers that the city of Sandpoint can take credit for.
Thank you.
All right, thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
Any other questions?
Officer Lauer, this is Officer Rick. I just want to say thank you so much for doing your job very well. It's obvious that you put forth great efforts, and I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, again, it all goes back to the communities and everyone else that gives us the information. So thank you for the praise, but... again, it goes back to the communities, and thank you guys for your continued support.
All right. Thanks, Austin. Any other comments? Richard, do you see... I know you... The communication between the police departments out here, I know, you know, it gets through, but do you plan on, I guess, following... the drugs out this way?
So that is, I think last year, the year of 2022, we had a hard push to, identify the modality of transport. The year of 2023, we're moving forward, and I anticipate that the command that I'm under right now is going to allow me to branch out as much as I see fit to, and I've already made it a point to the chief, to Paul Mueller, and to Jordan as well. My intent for 2023 is to really start hammering in, you know, the people that are trafficking into the city of Sandpoint or to King Cove or wherever. Fiscal year 2023, I intend to drill down on that. I intend to follow leads back to the sources that it's coming from. It's going to require a lot of time. It'll require travel, a lot of investigation. My goal for 2023 is to disrupt as many methods of transport as I possibly can. That's my personal goal. My command staff is well aware of my goals. I've made it clear that I want to leave an impression on the community that if you bring drugs into the Eastern Aleutians, there will be consequences, because I will know who you are, and I will find you, and you will answer to what you're doing. So that's my big push for 2023.
All right. Thanks, Richard.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions for Rich? I don't know. Jack?
Officer Lowry, Jack here. I was just wondering.
Hello, sir.
I know that southern border has got a big push. Have you seen a relationship with that being open in the last 2.5 years, when it was closed on the trafficking and volume?
So I think, I have an opinion on it. I don't want to speak to it openly, but I will answer your question in that I think that, especially with the M30 pills, with the fentanyl, it's harder to detect than traditional drugs. So I think that the cartels that make this stuff and send it up here, I think that they know that, and I think that they're trying to capitalize on the fact that we are behind the eight ball, or we were behind the eight ball. Canines are now being trained in the detection of fentanyl. We have very, very delicate instruments that can detect fentanyl. So I think that, to answer your question, I think that the push has become more, but that's only because the drugs have become harder to detect. But I can tell you, in the last year, the technology that we have received in my unit specifically, the technology that we have received is helping us tip the scale, so to speak. Where we were unable before to detect this stuff, we're now being able to detect trace amounts of it. Just even from human contact, we can check, hands, luggage. We can check anything. We can test this stuff on a molecular level, and it's making us more effective at trying to thwart their efforts.
All right.
Thank you, Al. Thanks for your efforts. Should be a nice figure out a way to nip this in the bud down before it gets here.
Well, I'll be honest with you, sir. That's been after getting my feet wet and getting stood up with what we actually do, now understanding what we do and how we do it, that's kind of this next year is going to be me attempting to make waves. So just hold on, because you'll see it this year. You will see at least one case that'll be a a ginormous case, and there will be somebody from your community that will have their face on a paper.
Good. All right. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Richard. There's no
Thank
other
you,
questions
Mayor.
For Richard. Yep. Thank you for your work. And
thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, big thanks to EATS for funding this program. All right. Thank you all. And we'll move on to the next report, which is EMS Director Logan Thompson.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. For this month, I have a few things in my report in the packet. I'll just go over it real quickly. The ETT class, previously mentioned, is scheduled firmly for January 19th through the 23rd. My packet is the 24th. That's a typo on my end. We have a trainer from Team One Alaska coming out. They'll be providing a two-hour BLS course, which is a prerequisite, and then they'll be doing the 40-hour ETT class. I've been in contact with EATS to see if they can help us provide these funds for that. One highlight of this month for EMS, as well as fire, was the Christmas stocking, like, delivery. So we had the two fire trucks and the ambulance out around town, along with the officers, delivering stockings out of the ambulance with the firemen, which was an awesome opportunity to see all the kids along the community, and I think it was a great way to get EMS involved more hands-on. I've included a picture in my report. I want to say thank you to all the volunteers, especially Amy Mack with the QTP tribe. Next, I have signed a EMS relief position with Denise Mobeck, who's an EMT1, to support EMS. Make sure we have somebody covered. And then after my ECT class this January, I'm planning on an EMT bridge so we can get some more EMT certified. That is all.
All right. Thank you, Logan. Any questions or comments for Logan? Seeing none at this time. Thank you, Logan.
Thank you.
Okay, move on to the next report, which is Fire Chief Robert Gadotti.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good evening, everybody. For the month of December, we had one fire call and one training session. The fire call was on December 25th. We responded to the report of a fishing vessel on fire. We watered it and foamed it and pretty much lost control over it. So we had another fishing vessel tie to it and pull it out, and it continued to burn. We had quite a few people respond. All the city guys helped out. Appreciate that. Amy Mack responded as EMT. Appreciate that. On December 30th, we had a training session down at the harbor. We charged the fire hydrants, and we charged the large boat dock water piping. And made sure all the valves were open and tested that out, and that tests out good. I'll be moving on to the other float week coming up, and make sure all those valves are open and get that charged. We had an impromptu training session, which we will follow up on the firefighting equipment that is at the harbor. That's going to be maintained and fueled and tested on a regular basis. And we're going to have a training session every month. And I will be testing all the hydrants in the city and drawing a map and getting them up to speed. We have a new volunteer firefighter, Shane from Trident has volunteered as a volunteer firefighter, so appreciate that. It's good to have somebody from Trident there. And thanks to Trident for reporting the fire on the 25th in the first place. They noticed it. It was dark, so they saw some flames and smoke. Appreciate that. And that's my report for the month of December 2022.
All right, Rob, thank you. Any questions or comments for Rob at this time? Austin?
I just want to say thanks to all the people that responded to put out the fire, and particularly I want to say thank you to Stephen Galvin and the Shauna Ray for pulling the vote out. That was a scary thing to do. So thank you for their actions on that.
Thanks, Austin. Yeah. Any other questions or comments at this time? All right, Jeff. Okay, thanks, Rob. Robert?
Yes, thank you.
We'll move on to the next report, which is the Public Works with Julius Carlson.
For December, the rated roads allowed the standard roads and snow. Picked up fuel with seed buildings and equipment. All the rock for the harbor and spring on the roads. Keeping up on our snow equipment, air chains, tires on our sand trip. Received a new brush cutter attachment for our excavator that will get up and running soon. And we'll hold house in this rebuilding, fix the water line, put new batteries and battery cables in our excavator. Terms of equipment, place boulders on the walking trail up on front of the hill that comes down from the ATV truck. And order filters for equipment. Let's dump the front of the hill for weather damage.
All right. Thanks, Julius. Any questions or comments for Julius? All right. Seeing none. Nice job with the house removal. I had a couple comments that was very, very clean down there. So thanks. Okay. We'll move on to the next report. Is Water and Sewer Supervisor Dylan Jacobs.
Thank you. One that's been a lot of time working on our living software staff one class, DC, our environmental specialist bug, and our department after we're done. Coordinated with community members to do our 10 living software samples and mail them out. Brad and I spent a couple weeks clearing brush from the trailer court and handing them across the water line. During demo of the house by the city building, the water line broke. We repaired that. Use the shutter at the community center. Search for documents regarding the footbridge in the harbor. Cleaned up the water plant after our recent project. Started doing some inventory to get everything sorted out and figure out what was in order for other pump projects.
All right. Thank you, Dylan. Any questions or comments for Dylan? All right. Seeing none. Thank you. All right. We'll move on to the next report, which is Harbor Master Alan Kuchinoff.
Hello, everyone. In the month of December, we did some maintenance on our little lift. We all destroyed both. Finished up our village block projects. We did maintenance for our flatbed, there's two lights and tank, one light pole on the east coast. All their removal cleaned up around the harbor. That's the big leak in our shop roof. Door blew off on the south warehouse. We ordered new hardware that's here. We'll get to that one. We had high guys. We had old fire. Up around the harbor and worked with TDX to fix a couple of power issues. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Alan. Any questions or comments for Alan? Austin?
I just want to say good job to you and the harbor crew for being on the spot during the high tides and keeping those power skips from blowing away. appreciate all the work you guys are doing out there.
We were supposed to go home early then. Yeah. We had to wait for the tides to go back.
Ridiculous. Thank you for that.
going to ask Al. I used to always lose blood out of my skin. Did any of those guys have any engine damage from doing that?
No.
Okay.
I kind of sent a Hail Mary out to my if you had any engine damage, you property down here, please come check on it.
All right. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Alan. Any other questions or comments? Thanks for the effort. I forgot if you worked on Christmas or New Year's, but
yeah, it was
Christmas.
And another day off, and probably the other one before that one.
Yeah. So thanks for the extra effort. Yep. All right. Okay. Well, that concludes our report. We'll move on to the next item: business hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. And the first is Ordinance 2023-01, FY23 Budget Amendment. And do we have a motion to put Ordinance 2023-01, FY23 Budget Amendment on the floor for its first reading? A motion by Marika. Second. By Arlene. All right, we'll hand the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So council before you is a proposed mid-year budget amendment for FY23 for the city of Standpoint. There's sort of a twofold reason why we do this each year. One is that the summer salmon season is bisected by our fiscal year. So some years the fish come in early, some years they come in later, some years the price is better than others. So you really don't know going into the season, you know, what that's going to look like. And then, you know, secondly, it's just to make sure, so you know, that's one reason. And the second reason is just make sure there's no outstanding issues we need to address, make sure everything, you know, all the expenditures are in line, all the revenues are in line, and that there's a, you know, a mid-year change, then this is the time to address that. Looking at, you know, the general fund revenue, so the general fund is where the raw fish tax, sales tax, and most external sources of revenue go to. So that funds administration, public safety, public works. So there's been a decent size capital gains loss due to the dip in the stock market that goes back to the city's permanent fund. On the flip side, the city's AMLIP account, Alaska Municipal League Joint Insurance Pool, something to that effect. It's basically a money market account, and that has, you know, done well as interest rates paid by financial institutions to savers has risen. Adjusted the raw fish tax downward. Again, the guess at the early part of the season was simply an estimate. Looking at Kurt's report today, we're well below that anticipated $500,000 mark, so I bumped that down to about $300,000. On the plus side, our 4% sales tax is much stronger than anticipated, so that was bumped up quite a bit. I did remove the one line, 01256. Revenue State of Alaska, that was done in error. That should be going to a different account. The share of business fisheries tax came in, you know, pretty healthy. Like the raw fish tax, it varies year by year. You do see the large increase in police miscellaneous revenue. That reflects the generous contribution of EAT to the task force position in Anchorage. And then the EMS miscellaneous revenue has increased by $16,000. That's, again, thanks to our partners at EAT. And then looking at the expenditure side of the general fund, there's no real major changes. There is one change, it's a bit of an anomaly under police, under equipment. It went up $40,000, but that reflects a donation by QTT. So dollar in, dollar out, so that's offset the revenue side of things. Big O Fund isn't our gaming fund, excuse me, that's not quite where it has been historically at this point. I don't know if, I'm not sure on the causes. That will have a downline and downstream impact on the amount of money the city can use from that fund for community purposes, donations to the kids, investing for the cemetery, or for other community activities. The Silver Salmon Derby, the city doesn't contribute to that. We're simply the bank for it. We still have the LGLR and the ARPA funds. That came in last year, but still on the books. So this, again, is a dollar in, dollar out. Harbor expenses are up, but there was quite a bit of work done year to date. So that's reflected in the proposed budget. And again, solid waste and water sewer are about where they are. Those two funds tend to be pretty steady in terms of revenue and expenditures throughout the year. So this should be the first reading, and then I can have a much more in-depth breakdown by salaries, apartments and all that, and pie graphs and charts at the second reading of this. I don't think, and again, the proposed, we know our revenues for most funds pretty well. But expenditures, are kind of like the worst case scenario. And most years, we don't get anywhere near the budgeted expenditures. So, I know it doesn't look great, but I don't think it's as bad as it looks.
All right. Thank you, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan? Austin?
We get a copy of the Charles Schwab performance over the last maybe 5 years or so.
All right. Thanks, Austin. Dave?
Yep. I just wanted to make sure and thank Tiger and Tiger Good Tribe for the donation of the control car for $40,000. Tremendously awesome.
All right. Thank you. Any other? Arlene?
I just have one question. It's under the harbor revenue.
Yes.
There's account number 62.16, harbor warfare, and then 63.215, harbor warfare. I'm going to break down the work.
I'm sorry, there's 62.215.
62.215, harbor warfare, and then 63.215.
I will look into that.
All right. Thanks, Arlene. Any other comments or questions? All right. Seeing none. Roll call on the question, please, Jen.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. We'll move on to the next item of business, which would be resolution 2301, resolution supporting Alaska Department of Transportation fence project at the Sand Point Airport. We had discussion on this in the workshop, so I will ask for a motion to adopt resolution 2301, supporting Alaska Department of Transportation fence project at the Sand Point Airport.
Make motion to adopt resolution 2301, support for the fencing project by the state DOT at the Sand Point Airport.
All right, we have a motion by Austin. Do we have a second? Second by Amy. All right. Roll call, please, Jay.
Alan?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Amy? Jack?
Yes.
Charlene?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. So that concludes our hearings, ordinances, and resolutions. We'll move on to the next item, which is old business. And there's one item there of the city hall repair bid. And I will hand the floor to Jordan.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So as part of the ongoing discussion on repairs to the city building, Kukar Construction came back with a proposal that totals up to just under $500,000, or to be more precise, $495,438.96. The scope of work has been reduced through back and forth communications with them to meet the needs of the city building. Obviously, the city building does need attention. They're recommending a three-pronged approach where it's water control on the ground, so essentially drainage, wire control on the building, so essentially gutters and some new siding, and then the internal work with the repairing the wall inside. Again, we do have some funding available in the form of the local government loss revenue fund that was applied for and got from the state. So the question now becomes, what dollar figure is the council comfortable moving forward on? All right. Thank you, Jordan. Any comment at this time? All right. Seeing none. Yeah, go ahead, Austin.
I propose that we give direction to Mayor Jimmy Smith to begin negotiations with Kutella for acquiring the services for the repairs of the building.
Okay. Yeah. To the dollar value.
Location.
Yeah. Okay. Not to
exceed the amount given by the invoice.
We changed that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Starting at?
Just in the form of a motion that you're talking about. It.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll go with that. Okay.
I make a motion that we begin negotiations with Kuchar for the work done to repair the city building with the grant services to not exceed the amount offered by Kuchar and the invoice.
Okay, we have a motion by Austin to negotiate contract with Kushar not to exceed the amount that is on the proposal. Is that right? We have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second by Marita. Roll call, please, Jade. You don't need a roll call? It's just a vote. Okay. Direction. Okay.
No, I said discussion.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Any further discussion? All right. Seeing none. All right. Thanks, Jake. Roll call, please.
Austin?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Okay, that concludes old business. I see there is nothing under new business, so at this time, are there any public comments? All right, hearing none.
I have one actually. I wanted to say thank you to Ken for the decorations. Like that.
Oh.
It was him. It was really nice.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Seth.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Any other council comments at this time?
The kids on book program right jacket stuff arrived. I think they're still slowly coming in. I'm not sure if they combine a couple orders and get it through boxes. So happy to say that they're finally here after waiting for a couple of years.
Right.
Do you get those boxes or they put them still on the boxes down at the harbor, or how does that work? Or they just pass them out? No, they open them in the harbor and the harbor box.
All right, thank you, Arlene, and to the Polloff Harbor for getting funding for those. And we're going to replace the old ones. I think we were leaning towards letting people have the old ones, the new ones in the boxes, where they can have access to them. Thank you. Any other comments? Council comments? Okay. All right. Seeing there's no other comments at this time, we will move on to executive session for personnel. Do we have a motion to enter executive session?
I'll make a motion to move into executive session.
Do we have a second?
Okay.
Second by Arlene. Okay. We'll be...
Since he's on the phone, we'll do a roll call. Not all in the same room.
Okay. We have...
Roll call.
Roll call to one to executive session at this time.
Arlene?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
Jack?
Are we on the same phone call? Or?
We'll change numbers.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. We're going to accept the session at 8:16.
Alan, I'm going to call you, okay?
Okay, I'll wait. I'll hang up and wait for your call.
Okay, thanks.